one of the things that this entire pandemic has exposed is our reliance on China for just about everything. Most importantly, critical items that we need, PPE, pharmaceuticals, and so forth. And my next guess is that simply must stop. It must not stand. Nor should America sign on to this globalist idea of setting prices for pharmaceuticals around the world. Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani is here, senior science advisor to the Men's Health Network, past chair, chair emeritus at the American Public Health Association, and former Alumni Association board member at Columbia University School of Public Health. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on today.
Let's start with our supply chains all the way to China, communist China, as we know. Turned around shiploads of masks and rubber gloves, easy example of what the problem is. But more importantly, the number of pharmaceuticals we get from China and the number of those pharmaceuticals that do not pass quality control, and yet we release them on the American market anyway because there is no alternative drug in many cases, meaning people are getting drugs that wouldn't normally pass the FDA, and they're going to consumers anyway. That's a big concern, isn't it?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, Steve. This is a problem that's been going on for well over 25, maybe 30 years, that we've been relying on providing medications from places where you wouldn't even want to be drinking the water. And it's not just China. It comes from India, some of the former Soviet Republic countries, some countries in Middle Latin America. I'd say about 80% of the generic supply comes from places that really are problematic in terms of the quality of the medications. I've spoken to a lot of experts about this because, as you said in the intro, this has got to stop and we have to return to a standard where medications are safe, or have quality.
Let me ask you this.
It's going to take about 10 years to do that.
Yeah, I mentioned quality control. That's an extremely important consideration. What about efficacy? Do these drugs, when they come to these places that are questionable, to say the least, do some of these drugs not work as well as if they were made in America or the UK or Canada or one of the Western nations? Do they have the same efficacy?
That's really very questionable. One of the dilemmas is that no one has really done the clinical trials in the U.S. to know if medicines from these foreign countries work as well as they are supposed to. Many of us suspect not that some of the lack of effectiveness of medicines is not just due to patients not taking it, but also that they are subpotent or they simply don't even have the proper ingredients. There was just a report out that so many cancer drugs and drugs to treat hepatitis were being smuggled in, and these products had very, very little active component in them at all.
So here's
very,
my
very
question.
Hard to know.
I mean, Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani, there has to be a motivation for companies in the United States or other Western nations. There has to be a motivation financially to produce these drugs. And when they're produced so cheaply overseas, this is what we end up with. How do we motivate these companies to start producing these drugs, many of which are in high demand, as you well know? How do we make sure that they come back, they're produced at the right quality level and at a rate that makes it worthwhile for one of these companies to get involved?
Yeah, it's not just manufacturing them in the U.S., but also some of the standards in the European countries where they have very good, high regulatory standards. So it's really making sure that products are made in facilities and countries that are adequately inspected. As you mentioned, a lot of it boils right down to pricing. One of the solutions that's going to hurt this is indexing pricing for medicines to lower country prices that really put American companies at a disadvantage. The foreign companies are subsidized by foreign governments in many cases, that their healthcare payment structures are very different than ours. So one of the things that we are very concerned about at Men's Health Network is this indexing scheme that keeps coming up, which essentially is government price fixing. What we think the remedy is what the remedy always is, free market basis. We believe that pricing negotiations and good, transparent contracts are the way to ensure pharmaceuticals and other medical supplies, really, like personal protective equipment, are fair and equitably priced.
Yeah, so price controls, And that takes me all the way back. It's like a flashback on the time machine to the 1970s America. Price controls on all sorts of different items, many of those being agricultural items. Price controls are a product of central planning, something that I don't care for, I don't believe you care for. And the fact of the matter is that what people don't understand, when drugs are developed by Big Pharma, it can cost billions of dollars, and there may or may not be a return on that investment. It may be a complete zero. And so when companies go out there and risk their capital and their resources on developing new drugs that can save you from heart disease or cancer or whatever the case may be, there's a huge investment. So telling companies when they do have a successful drug, well, you're only allowed to make a little bit on it, why would you risk it at all?
Yep. Even FDA recognizes that, Steve. FDA has come out recently, a few months ago, and said that the bigger problem that has to be addressed is just that, as you said, that companies are making these significant investments in time and money and have the significant capability to produce medicines quickly. They have to have a financial reward. Just now we're seeing that the strength of the pharmaceutical industry, the innovative sector, is what we're relying on for products to combat the epidemic with the coronavirus, just as we did back in the 1980s for development of medications to combat HIV.
All right, let's talk about some solutions for a moment. We've got about 2 minutes here, Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani. Let's work on a couple of solutions here. First of all, how do we encourage the supply chains to come back toward the U.S., at least into Western nations, the U.K., Spain, France, whatever it may be, where quality control is more closely looked at, for example, and to make sure that the drugs that are being created have, well, the ability to do what they're supposed to do. How do we do that, number one?
One of the best ways is for people, patients, to request medications that are made in countries or medications that are made by manufacturers who have these strong quality control programs. Most people don't understand that you can really go into your pharmacy, most pharmacies, under most healthcare plans, and request a medication made by a large company. All of the large companies, the Pfizers, the Mercks, the Lillys, the Novartises, they all have generic subsidiaries, and these are available, and you just need to go and ask the pharmacy to get you one of these U.S. or EU standard medications. The other is good pricing negotiation. Men's Health Network on its website at www.menshealthnetwork.org has posted five principles that focus on how to address the pricing problem in a way that makes sense, allows for reasonable return on investment to the industry, and will therefore bring product manufacturing back into the safe zone.
That's a pretty good start. We're going to leave it right there for today, Doctor. Good conversation, really good information. Greatly appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me on the show, Steve.
Greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, Dr. Salvatore Giorgiani. Men's Health Network, as you heard, also a former board member at Columbia School of Public Health and a whole lot of other things. Qualified, of course, to talk about these matters. But supply chains, quality, and efficacy. Do the drugs work that come from China or India or pick your place? That's the real question. And an important one it is. Quick break. You're in the No Panic Zone on the Steve Guber Show. We'll be back in a moment.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important. So is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. Enbridge is committed to building this underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5. Deep under the Straits of Mackinac. This means multiple layers of protection, virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes, no possibility of an anchor strike, and no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Line 5 Tunnel.
The Roxor Beast of a Sales event is back, summer style. Right now, save big on all remaining 2019 Roxors, starting at $750 off. Hand-assembled in the USA with a steel body, box steel frame, and a 2.5-liter four-cylinder Mahindra turbo diesel engine. It's the side-by-side unlike any other. But hurry, the Roxor Beast of a Summer Sales event is only for a limited time. Go to RoxorOffroad.com/offers to learn more.
Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. Work with Ameriprise Financial Advisor Craig Stiles with Stiles, Miller & Clark Group, a financial advisor advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated. And together, you'll develop a customized plan for your retirement. Discover the one-to-one relationship you deserve. Call Craig Stiles today at 517-483-4893. Office is located at 2400 Lake Lansing Road, Suite B, Lansing, Michigan. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
I vaccinate because I want to protect my daughter.
I vaccinate because these diseases can be deadly.
Because of vaccines, we tend to think of diseases like whooping cough and measles as things of the past, but they aren't. Michigan's children still get them and pass them on. Get the whole story at ivaccinate.org.
I vaccinate because I got the facts.
Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, the Franny Strong Foundation, and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.